Good morning and welcome to Up to Date. Steve Kraske is away on this election eve. I'm Brian Ellison. We call it the Department of Corrections, but one might wonder why. In political rhetoric, in conventional understanding, the criminal justice system is about punishment. It's about safety. Maybe it's even about deterring future crime. But corrections? Correcting what? Yes, once upon a time, that was the goal, to rehabilitate and repair, to make right what has gone wrong, to return the straying to a right path. In many places, in prisons, that way of thinking is the stuff of history, but today we hear about a program in Kansas that for 30 years has been trying to live into it, and its success and challenges may have something to say about how incarceration works in society and how it can work better. Today we'll meet some former prisoners who have been part of Reaching Out From Within, and we want to begin by meeting the president of the board of directors of that group, Russell Thompson. Russ, welcome.
Thank you, Brian. I'm really pleased to be here today to talk about our program. I think we have a great program. 30 years is a long time.
It is. We're glad you're here. Tell us how it got started 30 years ago, the program called Reaching Out From Within.
Yeah, it actually began at the correctional facility in Lansing, which at the time was a coeducational facility, men and women together. In that particular prison. And one of the inmates, a guy named Greg Musselman, decided it would be great to start their own program to help transform themselves so that they could become productive citizens. And so it was a grassroots effort. And they invited some help in, and that's where we got involved, Sue Ellen Freed being our founder, along with Greg Musselman from the community side.
And Sue Ellen Freed was led this program until you took over not too long ago, right?
Well, Sue Ellen's been a part of it for the entire 30 years. I've been a part of it for the last 16, but Sue Ellen is still a key member of our organization, and she's our president emeritus, and we couldn't get by without Sue Ellen.
You talked about helping people become productive members of society. Was the goal always to change the kind of people that the prisoners would be after they got out of prison? Was that always what this was about?
You know, I think the goal for the prisoners, certainly the ones that started it out, was not so much what happens after they get out of prison, but what happens today in prison. For many of them, they were part of the Lifers Club, which meant that they might not ever get out. And but they saw the need to make changes in their lives so that they could live a productive life, even if they were still incarcerated.
So talk about that productive life. What is the goal? What does success in this program look like?
Well, I think the best statement of what they were trying to accomplish is in the beliefs. And they've got a set of beliefs that are read at the beginning of every meeting in all of our Reaching Out From Within groups. And we now have 17 groups across the state of Kansas. And they are that no one has the right to hit anyone, in using alternatives to cope with stress and anger, in advocating a violence-free lifestyle, that even though we are incarcerated, we can help those in need, and in the importance of caring for humanity. That is what they're about. That's what they've always been about, and that's why I am, as a volunteer, am really charged and really enjoy supporting their effort.
Has there been a way to measure the success of the program? Can we point to some indicators that say this has made a difference?
You know, there are a lot of indicators. So one is just the fact that one group has now spread by itself into 17 groups across the state of Kansas in 7 correctional facilities. It was the inmates that spread that. That's a real testimony to the to the impact of this program. The second thing are the people that are present here with me today. You're going to meet shortly. I've observed many, many men and women really make significant changes in their lives. And then finally, I guess the way that the researchers measure all this is through recidivism. Recidivism is the return rate once a person is released from prison. How many come back to prison, either on a new infraction or because of a parole violation? And we have had phenomenal success with regard to reducing recidivism. The state of Kansas has generally done much better than the nation with regard to that, and we have always been about half the rate of the state of Kansas general population, prison population, with our Reaching Out From Within.
Really? 50% of the Kansas rate?
50% of the Kansas rate, and that rate for Kansas is down to 37% now.
Wow.
Compared to the national rate is more like 55% of people coming out of prison. Most people coming out of prison go back to prison in our country.
Those are great numbers. Well, you mentioned that you have with you today here, Russ, a couple of successful graduates of the program. Ronnie Rhodes served 31 years in prison for murder. He has always maintained his innocence of that crime, by the way. He's been out of prison, though, now for 2 months, 2 months today. So congratulations and welcome, Ronnie.
Thank you.
We're also joined by Gwyn McNair. She served 18 years in prison for first-degree murder, but she's been out for a little longer, since 1999. And now not only was in the Reaching Out from Within program while she was in the system, she's now going back as a volunteer. So welcome to you, Gwyn.
Thank you.
Let me start with you, Gwyn. How did you first get involved in Reaching Out from Within?
It was a program that was available at the time, and I didn't really think what that program would mean to me. Now I do, obviously, but it really wasn't anything that I could think specifically about the advantages of being in this program.
Right.
At that time.
It was the program, just so our listeners kind of get a picture of it, it's a place for inmates to go a couple of times a week, right? Like an evening meeting sort of thing?
It was an evening meeting, and sometimes it would be day meetings. We would have times when we would meet when we were doing fundraisers, or we would have runs to make fundraising efforts. But mostly it would be once a week.
Mm-hmm. Brian, if I could add to that, right now with the 17 groups, we've got most of those groups meet one night a week for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. Some of them meet as often as twice a week down in Winfield. So it varies.
Ronnie, what was your motivation for getting involved in this program in the first place?
I wanted to impress the parole board. So I went into the group. At that time, it was called Stop Violence.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did my icebreaker, something changed.
Tell us what that means. What was
icebreaker is where you get in front of the group and you introduce yourself, so to speak. You tell the group something about you, your childhood, your crime, if you choose to speak about that, and what you could possibly do or what you can offer to the program and what you expect to get from the program, why you're there. And it's more or less an introduction. And then after you finish your icebreaker, they ask questions.
Okay.
And so when I did my icebreaker, and I want to make sure that the listeners are clear that when you go into Reaching Out from Within, you know, it's just not automatic that you do an icebreaker. You must attend three consecutive meetings, and on the fourth meeting, you do your icebreaker.
I see. So you had to sort of prove that you were really serious about this before you could really get into the
program. Yeah, I had to attend three consecutive meetings, and then I did my icebreaker. And like I said, when I did my icebreaker, then I knew that this was something I wanted to do.
Yeah.
This was a program I wanted to be involved in.
I'm really interested, Gwyn, if you had a similar experience and you think other inmates do too, where the first thing that draws you to be part of it is just because it's there, maybe to impress a parole board.
Well, honestly, for myself, I was in the co-ed facility.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to meet a fella.
Ah, okay.
That's
now we're getting true
went.
Confessions
this
here.
Is,
all right.
This is what we did at that time originally, was that originally we thought that, we'll go and meet. But really, it was not a meeting place, per se.
it wasn't a dating site.
No, not at all. I mean, it kind of started out with that thought process, but no.
Incidentally, Brian, 1995 is when the women were moved from Topeka, or from Lansing to Topeka, so the co-ed facility no longer exists. Now
that's correct.
Separated.
So the program consists of these meetings. They happen once a week, in some cases twice a week. Ronnie, you said that people share their story, these icebreakers. They introduce themselves, mm-hmm. talk about what they want people to know about them and maybe their crime, and then people ask them questions. Where does the meeting go from there? What happens next, Ronnie?
Well, In most cases, there's a facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
Each inmate volunteers to facilitate a particular program. We have units in our Blue Book. Our Blue Book is our curriculum, and the Blue Book deals with everything: anger, respect, prison mentality, child abuse, spousal abuse, domestic violence, communication, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And the purpose of the material in the Blue Book is geared toward soliciting conversation, discussion. And during that discussion, people, guys that are members of the program, you start to identify areas in your life where you can address your cycles of violence. See, I think it's important for the listeners to understand that most of the guys that are in prison because we didn't handle anger very well. And our cycles of violence are roots from your childhood, from your influences, and things like that. And the Blue Book deals with all of that.
You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison. We're talking today about reaching out from within and efforts in Kansas prisons to reduce recidivism and stop violence by working closely with inmates. That was Ronnie Rhodes, and he, along with Gwen McNair, are both successful participants in this program, both out of prison now. Also talking with Russ Thompson, who's president of the board of directors of Reaching Out From Within. The Blue Book that Ronnie was mentioning, Russ, where does that come from? Who developed that?
It was written by inmates, for inmates, and that's I think that's part of the magic of the organization. It's all about empowering the inmates and allowing them to be, to provide the substance of this transformation. There are, I think, 21 units or something like that. It's over 400 pages. It was a fairly small book in the 1980s, started at about 170 pages. So it's grown, and it's because it's a living document. Every year we look at new units that need to be added. It's not us. It's the inmate participants that do this, and they generate material.
Gwen, you've seen this from both sides, so you've worked with lots of other people going through these lessons and these conversations.
Yes.
What strikes you as most important? Is there a particular lesson or two that seem to be the real turning points for people?
What really was the most important thing that I felt was a part of the program was that we had conflict mediation sessions in the group, within the group confines of the meetings. We didn't have staff membership that would stand, because a lot of this stuff that would come up is very volatile, stuff that they probably have never told anyone in their lives, that a topic would come up and discovery, bah, the lights come on, and it's like, okay, I don't agree with you, and no, I don't agree with you. And that was the thing that really set the stage, because we need to know how to deal with conflict. Sometimes, it's okay to disagree, it's the manner that we do it. A lot of times we want to prove our point or make our position stronger than the next person. And it's not about being the one that's the top dog, per se, because that's kind of the mentality that a lot of people have when they come in the facility,
mm-hmm.
is that, I'm less of a person if you can, find something wrong or we don't agree on something.
Right.
So, yeah.
I want to invite our listeners to be part of the conversation. How do you feel about programs that seek to develop leadership or life skills among inmates? Is it money and time well spent? And if any of our listeners today have actually served time themselves, we'd love to hear from you. Did you participate in programs in prison that sought to develop you as a whole person, as a productive member of society? Would it have made a difference? Call us at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. You can also email us at uptodate@kcur.org. Ronnie, as you look back at your 3 decades in prison, how are you different for having gone through this program?
Well, I control my anger. I understand my anger. Communication, thinking reports. I understand the other side. I also have an objective outlook as far as why there is a need for prisons, why people work to maintain prisons. And I understand that working through reaching out from within, you can fix it if you want to. You can fix it. The program transforms you, period. You attend the program weekly. You're going to change. You're going to get better. You're going to be good.
And why? Why does it work?
Because it provides information that make you look at yourself.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, when we're dealing with anger, a lot of people believe that anger is something that you don't control. It just comes. But that's not correct. Program taught me that it first starts with your thinking. And from your thinking, you deal with why you react, how you react, and what's an alternative to act, to react or act in a different manner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. We have a unit on self. We have a unit on spirituality. And it digs into personal things in a person's life. And it allows you an opportunity to take a look at it. And once you become comfortable with the guys in the group, then you start discussing what's going on. Like, for instance, guy was sexually abused when he was a child. You know, you don't just come out of the cell house and stand on the run and explain that information to everyone. And I think that another thing that's very significant about our program is we have a no tolerance for breaking confidentiality. What's discussed in those groups stay in those groups.
And that includes the prison staff. There's nothing that can be said there that could be incriminating or be part of evidence against an inmate.
That includes everybody that's in that room. And there are no prison staff for the most part in that room. Now, some of our facilities, we don't have outside volunteers from the community. And they have to have a sponsor for the group, and it will be a facility staff member. But for Lansing and Topeka, the volunteers make the same commitment that the inmates do, that we're not going to talk about what's said in that room. We're not going to divulge any confidence.
Gwen, one of the things that has been lifted up about this program is that it reduces recidivism. And you've been out of prison for 13 years now. Do you think you would have ended up reoffending, going back, if you hadn't had something like this program?
Actually, you know, I guess I want what I want to say to the public is that whatever a person practices in there, that's what they're going to come out with. So if they're in prison, and I've heard people time and again say, oh, when I get out, I'm going to do this. I'm counting time. I've only got 10 days and so many seconds. Hey, that person has not productively used their time effectively. If there had not have been that program, I don't know where I would have been in a lot of respects, because like I said, I had started out with the wrong intention. But by osmosis and participating in the group, I started realizing, you know, that there were things that I really needed to address about Gwen. It had nothing to do with anybody else. In fact, it also cleaned up the fact that I was worried about what you thought about me. It was what I thought. Nothing was worse than what we think about ourselves. You know, I mean, it's okay to put on a front and a show for people, but deep down inside, you know what you feel. Nobody can say anything worse about you than what you say to yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't exactly say that that was the one factor that kept me from returning, but I practiced what I wanted to live in there before I got released.
Talking about reaching out from within, a program in Kansas prisons, 816-235-2888 is the number to call if you have questions or thoughts about the program. Let's talk to Rob in Kansas City, Missouri. Rob, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to say that I support the program. I apologize. I didn't hear the entirety of the program. It just kind of started. But I have in my past taught anger management courses and addiction-related courses inside the Jackson County Detention Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I found the inmates very appreciative and a great group to work with. They were my favorite group to work with.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew how successful the inmates were after they got out of my course and after they got out of jail. But I did know from them telling me that it was kind of easier to serve time, it seemed to be. They were at more peace because they had someone to talk to, because they had a group that they could trust, and they could unload some things off their chest. And so even if it was just for that, I thought it was worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
And I always hoped that they were able to take those lessons with them or their decision-making with them. Just not sure if they did or not, because I had no way of contacting them after prison.
Rob,
but I do support the programs, and they're definitely understaffed. A lot of inmates want to take advantage of them.
Thanks for that call, Rob. Appreciate that. And Russ, I would ask you, do you find that programs that are not run by volunteers, are there any such programs like this, and are they understaffed?
There are fewer programs because KDOC, Kansas Department of Corrections, has less money for those programs. And so the volunteers really need to step forward. Most of the programs in the correctional facilities are faith-based. There are a few other kinds of programs. Arts in Prison, Reaching Out from Within are good examples of that. We are not particularly faith. We're not based on one faith in Reaching Out from Within, but we do believe in the importance of the spiritual aspect of the person.
Mm-hmm.
But we do want to include all faiths. Yeah, I think that you know what Rob was talking about. We witness in our program the confidentiality that was mentioned earlier has really played a key, and you can see people opening up. They do have to gain trust, and it takes a while for them to do that. It's probably 3 or 4 meetings. By the time the icebreaker starts, they might have some confidence about the fact that they can divulge information to the group. It's critical.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk to Robert in Kansas City, Missouri. Robert, good morning.
Good morning.
I understand you've... you have a pretty loud phone line there, Robert, but I understand you spent some time in prison yourself.
Yes, sir. I spent 13 years in myself. And first of all, I just like to say to you, yes, I appreciate all three of them for coming on and telling their story, especially to the two ex-defendants, you know, because it's a story that needs to be told. You know, not all people that have been incarcerated are bad people, and we have so much to give that you may not get from someone with a college education that's placed over you to supervise you. So, you know, it's great listening to them, and I've been out successfully for 8 years and been truly blessed. I've worked 2 jobs, and I have accomplished a lot, and I have so much to give, and I just thank God for you all putting on a program like this morning.
Robert, thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate you taking the time to call into the show today and sharing that perspective. Russ, I wonder, and actually I wonder partly because of a question we got by email from Dave in Overland Park. He said, are some prisoners beyond hope of changing? And I wonder, you know, there's a whole range of kinds of prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
There's Robert who wants us to remember that prisoners have something to give, and then maybe there's some who aren't really interested in programs like this. How does the program distinguish, and what do you do about that difference?
Well, part of the distinguishing is done by the guy who walks through the door, or the guy or the gal, because it's a voluntary participation. People are not sent to this room. People come to this room because they want to come to this room. So we get right now we probably have around 700 inmates participate in the state of Kansas every year. But those are people that have, you know, self-referred. They're there because they want to be there. And therefore, we're not seeing the mm-hmm. preponderance of inmates. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. There are over 9,000 inmates in the state of Kansas. We're seeing around 700.
So why would someone not do it? Ronnie?
I'd like to speak to that.
Please.
That question.
Great.
Prison, there's a reason for it. And there are people in prison that need to stay in prison.
Yes, sir.
You know, so whether they walk through the door of reaching out from within or any other program, there are people in prison. I live with them.
Yes, sir.
31 years. They need to stay where they're at.
So it's not a get out of jail free card, this program.
No, you work.
Yeah.
You work to fix yourself. You know, now my experience in prison was I had no reason, there was no reason, no legal reason for me to be there. So I had a leg up from the beginning because I was innocent of what I was in prison for in the first place. So my motivation was to get better, you know. What caused the people to convict me? What caused the people to put me here was my motivation. And so, therefore, every program that was available, and just like I said, when I walked in to Stop Violence, it was to impress the parole board, but I knew after my icebreaker that this was the program that would get me to the mountaintop.
Mm. Yeah, I've read a little bit more of your story, Ronnie. You had a lot of folks actually advocating for you outside of prison too, arguing that you were wrongly convicted. So
you're
not the only one who thinks so. Our listeners wouldn't really have any way of knowing that necessarily, and that's not the subject of today's show.
Right.
But that does play into your involvement in this
mm-hmm.
program,
right.
Gwen. I'm curious, how you think about that question of whether some prisoners are beyond hope of change.
Absolutely. I do believe that there are some people that are beyond, and they learn the game. You learn the right things to say, the right things to do, and like Ronnie said, it's like your get-out-of-jail-free pass. If I do this, then they'll do that. But when you're made to do something, it's not true and honest within yourself that you're going to live this way. This is what you're made to do. And, you know, the pedal goes to the metal when there's no one watching you. When there's no staff member or anyone else, when the people who live around you, you get to know people 24 hours a day being together, you start knowing who's who. And people separate themselves out accordingly to what kind of activities they're involved in,
right,
or what they're doing in their private time. So it separates you out pretty quickly when you're a member of the reaching out from within, because what happens is there's a lot of stuff that you're not going to be okay with anymore. You know,
that's
you'll
right.
separate yourself.
That's
you'll
right.
say, oh, wait a minute, that guy, he's over there, he's manipulating these people to do such and so. I don't agree with that. And I want to separate myself out from that behavior. So to answer the question, yes, there are people who absolutely, you know, need to be there
and
stay there.
They're not going to change.
No, they're not going to change.
And one other thing, significant aspect about prison that I think the listening public should know is everything you get out here, you can have
there.
It in there.
Yes, sir.
So if guys are dope addicts out here,
absolutely,
you can continue to be a dope addict in prison.
There's nothing wrong and to stop
smoking
you.
Tobacco,
absolutely,
drinking alcohol, the whole nine yards. You know, so when you walk through the door voluntarily for reaching out from within, then you're sending a message to yourself
mm-hmm.
that I want to fix mm-hmm. what got me here
mm-hmm.
And I want to be in a position where I do not return.
Are you sending a message to the other inmates as well?
Absolutely.
Do other inmates see you differently if you're involved in this program?
If you're practicing If you're practicing it, because there are scenarios that come up, and they're wanting to see how you're going to react or how you're going to interact in whatever situation. But if you've applied your skills properly, within yourself, you can't make me do something, because a lot of times people say, you made me mad. You made me do this.
Yeah.
No, responsibility lies within the person.
Yeah.
And that's very important, a very important factor of how this plays out. The responsibility is left in your court. It's not anyone else to responsibility for why you did what you did.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ronnie.
I got beat up in 2006. I got whooped pretty good, and I was in the program, and I had no desire to retaliate.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that different than you would have been?
That's my testimony. That's my testimony to the power of this program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's alive. Mm-hmm. Living force.
Mm-hmm.
And it works.
Absolutely.
Russ, I want to ask about one other aspect of the program, which is the service aspect, because the participants in this program do get involved with some things outside the prison too, right?
We try to get the group members to go out and make presentations.
Mm-hmm.
That works at some facilities. Other facilities, we're no longer allowed to do that because of the cost of staff supervision.
I see.
But they give back in a variety of ways. The group at Lansing, we've got three groups at Lansing. They have done food drives and things like that inside the facility. They've given money to organizations like Gracious Promise and other organizations in the community that support inmates and their families.
They actually
support
give money.
They give money.
The prisoners who have hardly any money.
Isn't
correct.
That amazing?
Yes.
That's absolutely correct. And all the groups do that. Giving back is a significant part of this organization.
Huh. Now, I wonder, Russ, for those on the outside, for our listeners, are there ways that you're a volunteer? You said everybody involved in the program is a volunteer. How does a person in Kansas get involved in this program?
Well, we'd love to have some people come to our gala event on November the 15th at the Overland Park Sheraton Hotel. It starts at 6 o'clock in the evening, and you can read about that on our website, which is rofw.org. And we're going to certainly tell our story and celebrate our 30 years of existence. We have volunteers serving as mentors. We have volunteers serving as board members. We have volunteers who go in and sponsor groups. We have volunteers on committees. There are all kinds of ways to volunteer with this group. And we invite as many people as possible to do this.
And we'll get a link up on our website as well at kcur.org, where folks can find more information. Thank you all so much for joining us. Russ Thompson, who's president of the board of directors of Reaching Out From Within, glad you could be here.
Thank you very much.
And Ronnie Rhodes and Gwyn McNair, two former inmates, now successful graduates of the program, Gwyn a volunteer in the program. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.